Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Adam Carolla is unprepared. Hits the road again this spring.
Canuck. Is a Canuck a Canadian or is a Vancouver Canadian or what is a Canuck? We don't care.
In San Francisco at Cobbs on April 19th. Sacramento at Thunder Valley on Friday, April 26th. In Brea on May 17th. And at Denver Comedy Works South on June 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, AJ Benza. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and the next round of Banks Bracket Madness. And now, he likes boobs like he likes his walls. Load bearing. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Mike must have the day off. probably at a funeral for one of his customers.
Cancellation.
Some free time in the morning. Well, I don't mean customers. I do mean funeral. All right. So, big day today. Big day. And I mean that. I'm big. I'm having like a breakthrough day, and I'm going to tell you guys why. First off, get it on and got to get it on and all that good stuff. I want to thank LegalZoom.com, enter Adam Butcher Box.com, enter Adam LifeLock and Castrol Edge. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
This is hilarious.
AJ Benza here. Good. Many things to discuss with him. He's got the Justice Smollett thing. He's got some hot takes on lots of stuff. Good to see you, AJ. So the breakthrough, and I don't like to talk about myself on the program, but I'm just going to carve out a few minutes.
Power through that instinct.
Yes. You think about those sort of turning points in your life, and they're little bits and pieces, little things that you remember, you know, from your past, and sometimes it's your childhood, sometimes it's your school career, sometimes it's your work. And things of that nature, and little snapshots of times, some good, some horrible, sometimes they involve a motor vehicle hitting yours, you know, but there's just things. And I realize for me, my life started taking a turn for the bad. And it really happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's the hospital room?
Well,
6 pounds, 2 ounces.
My parents are horrible. Everything was horrible. Everything was poor. And everyone was poor, is poor. And then there was one shaft of light in this this horrible, horrible darkness. And that was football. Yes. That was sports. I was good at sports. I had an identity. People knew I was good at it. I somehow started in Pop Warner at age 7, so I was playing tackle football at age 7, and then played 7 years of Pop Warner before then sort of graduating to high school. Now, people in different regions have, like, tackle football in junior high and stuff like that. Around here, they don't have that. All the way through. If you want to play tackle football, you play Pop Warner, Pee-wee, whatever they call it. You go all the way through. Right. Farm, Gremlins. Tiny Mite, Mighty Mite, Bantam, Midget. Like, I can name them all. Yeah. And you go all the way through. And you go, like, sometimes with the same kids and whatever. My first year, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I was 7. We told us to go to the bathroom at the park to get our uniforms on. I put, like, my girdle on backwards. Yes. Back when guys would wear girdles, they call them girdles. I was, like, backwards. The tail pad was in the front and blah, blah, blah.
I made that mistake.
The next year as a Gremlin, we went like 9-0 and we got to the championship game and I was just like, well, all we do is win. Mm-hmm. Like I was too young to even think, like, we just win every game handily. And so we're just going to win this one last game and that'll be that. Mm. And we lost the championship. And I don't even know how we lost. We just beat up every team we played. And when you play football, it's physical. So, like, you know, when you're, it's not like baseball. Like, oh, we got lucky because the one guy threw the ball, third baseman threw it into the dugout. Our guys were able to, you know, clean the bases off or whatever. It's not that. You just beat everyone. We just beat, especially at that level. It's not a lot of strategizing. Just run the ball, 8 years old, run them over. I played both ways. We beat everybody. And then we got to the very last game. And it was like rainy and weird because it never rained, and we're in some high school football field somewhere, and we just got beat, and yeah. I was like stunned.
And you were like, oh, yeah. Miserable familiarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a picture, Max Pata, the famous, not famous, but famous picture of me standing there in my football jersey looking like I'm about to cry. It's the end of that game. Like, yeah. It's like, I can't believe we're losing. So, we won more than we lost, but never made it back to the championship until my last season and the Sun Valley Falcons in the Bantams, College of the Canyons, and once again, going into a game that I knew we were going to win.
Right.
And the reason I'm bringing all this up is because this guy, Rob Kalash, I think his name is, he tweeted me a picture today of the Chatsworth Chiefs, the team we played. He said, I was on that team in 1978.
Wow, that's great.
And it's always
rubbing salt in the wound.
It's always bugged me that we crush that team during the season, right. And they rolled on us in the game. They rolled.
Oh, look at this.
And it was always explained to me
wow.
that they had a guy who didn't make weight when we played him in game number 6. And now he made weight, and all they did was hand the ball off to that guy, and he just ran up. It was like a man playing with boys, and he just ran up and down the field.
Yep.
And it was not only did we get crushed by this team I knew we were going to beat.
Yeah,
I was playing inside linebacker, and they ran so handily, so early, and so often that the coach just yanked me from the game.
So tough.
And the most humiliating thing ever,
yeah.
There was a blonde-haired, I don't know why blonde, his name was Trent. He was a friend of mine. He was like this blonde, like, surfer guy. I had played 6 years of Pee Wee football. I was getting my seventh year, and I was like, yeah, come out to the team, for the team. You're not going to play, but, you know, you'd be a part of the team,
and
blah, blah, blah. He pulled me out. He put my buddy Trent in for the rest of the game. Terrible. And I was like, pulled out of the Bantam Championship game at middle linebacker.
After 7 years.
And all the guy did was run on he just kept running on everybody. But now the coach had no more moves. It wasn't like, Corolla, get back in there and get to what didn't work in the first place. So I not only stood on the sideline, but my buddy, first year, was basically starting the whole game, the whole rest of the game, at middle linebacker, and this big kid just ran up and down the field. And I went from there.
That was Charles White.
His name, I guess, was Kevin Owens, but I went from there, and it was just a downhill slide. I was like, it was the longest drive home ever in my dad's VW Bug back to our pile of crap in North Hollywood. There's a picture of me.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You're crestfallen.
You look like Don Amici in the, oh my God, I love this.
Not Mike linebacker material.
Yeah, that was when I was 8, and that was Gremlins championship game.
Brutal.
And there's a picture of me just looking like I got. And by the way, I'm returning to my home with my parents. It's all over.
Yeah, it's not
getting
any
better. The only good thing. I will put it up at Adam Carolla.
Great show.
Great show. It was a good. It is a good picture in a way. It's better than me smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
And hoisting a Gatorade in victory, but you can see on my face this is not
a
good day.
Because you're a kid in competition and scores counted and everybody wanted to win back then, not presentation trophies for showing up. It was important.
I was devastated.
Of course.
And you can see we're wearing the old school Trojan jerseys.
Yeah, the crest stripe.
Now the new ones. But anyway, so I get this. I drove home from College of the Canyons. We got crushed by this team. What led into this is we were good, but we weren't as good as the North Valley Golden Bears. The North Valley Golden Bears were so good that they had, here's how you always know a team is good, when they have like the gold team and the silver team. Like they have two teams. That means too many people showed up.
How do we pick?
You took the best 35 and made the gold team out of it, and then just made another sloppy seconds. Call it sloppy seconds. You know, hey, this is the gold team. This is the maroon team. Like, don't do that. Don't give it a name. Give it a name. Sloppy seconds.
First loser.
Yep.
And these guys were from the Deep Valley, they're all black and Mexican.
Of course.
And they scared the bejesus out of our Lily White team, of course.
Naturally.
And they came in with the slapping on the thigh pads. We don't want no black eyed peas. Hell no. I said, we don't want. And they're like, hey, they're breaking it down. They had like do-rags on. They jog around you in like a military formation.
Yeah.
And then they like break it down in front of you.
Drumline.
They showed up.
That's called winning the game before it starts.
Exactly. Oh, my God.
Right in your head.
These guys showed up in...
How old were you?
This was my bantam year. I was 14
with these guys.
Two
of those guys drove to the game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Left their kids
well,
at home.
Well, the other parole officer drove them to the game and just waited out in the parking lot. Right. Tackle the guy's ankle bracelet. Come on, Corolla, stay up high.
Can't get my cleats off of my ankle bracelet, coach. Yeah.
The ankle bracelet tells you how many yards you ran for. Oh, 30 yards.
And these guys literally showed up, not in cleats. They showed up in like corduroy slippers, like that the gangbangers wear. Like weird indoor-outdoor slippers.
They
put their cleats on for the game, but they showed up that way.
Yeah, their driving shoes on.
I was like, oh, that's God damn. And they do that thing where they get in formation, they break it down, you know, and the lead guy, hands, helmet, hands, helmet. And you're just sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm so freaked out by the North Valley Golden Bears.
And you guys like, what do we want? Victory.
Yeah. And
when do we want it soon?
We literally had like blonde guys like crying. Well, they were doing that, but we were still good, and I was actually looking up North Valley Golden Bears. I couldn't find any old pictures, but there's some new pictures that are a little bit scary. Max and Pat, I'll find. Yes, that wake up there, Max and Pat. North Valley Golden Bears. You'll see some like what some scary nine-year-olds, some real scary nine-year-olds.
Yeah,
present day.
Yeah, present day. Like, I was just looking up images.
What makes them scary, Adam?
The way they carry themselves.
The confidence is intimidating.
The glint in their eyes.
Dude, that's right.
Looked like Nipsey Hussle, a couple of those guys. Harris Holder.
So it was a couple of scary dudes, and they were mostly scary, and we weren't. And then we played them, and we got to show the picture that has, like, upper left or something. To show all the team running out in the field or whatever it is. But anyway. Helmets on. There's a picture of like three kids I was looking at. Made me think my son would be scared to death if they're playing this team. So
this is hilarious.
There's another picture. There's a good picture of just like three dudes. And it says like North Valley Golden Bears or something. Maybe it's upper left. I don't know. Anyway, so we played this team as hard as we could play this team. I was playing middle linebacker. I kept getting crushed every time they'd run this like halfback draw where the fullback would lead through the hole, and I'd have to like come take him on. And
Kevin, get in there.
Jack my neck up, and it was a mess. And it's like they beat us 20-6, but they really spanked us. Like we got beat bad. I don't know, three guys running out, three guys posing. That's the picture I'm looking for, Max Pata. Anyway, so they beat up on us, and then they continue just to roll on through the playoffs and spank everybody.
That's a little bit of silver lining, though. When, you know, if they'd fallen the next round, that's you're like, oh, Christ, that. But at least they're a juggernaut.
What happened was is they were a juggernaut, and they were unbeaten, and then we were good, but we had a loss to them, and then we ended up in the playoffs, and whoever won that game was going to College of the Canyons to play for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, how are we going to beat these guys? These guys are unbeaten, and they beat us already, you know, four games ago in the regular season. And I know these guys are killers. They're going to destroy us, but we're going to have to do it. And we just pinned our ears back, and we just grinded and grinded. And everyone's like, come on, another yard or whatever. And it was like raining, and it was like some girls' soccer field somewhere where there was no bleachers or anything. And we beat them 13.
Oh, wow.
We beat them 13-7. We're looking at a picture of
that Boys to Men?
Fellas from the
I think they became Boys to Men.
Wow.
Now, these kids we're looking at are 8 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
I was scared.
The scary thing actually does work. These kids are menacing.
Yeah, they look scary.
Of course they do.
They're furrowed brows.
When you're 8 years old, these guys are scary. I was 14, and I was playing the 14-year-old version of these guys.
Wow.
Yeah, I get it.
Scared to death.
Intimidating.
And you know what? People have to know those helmets with the stars on them mean vicious hits.
Yeah, took out a white kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you knocked out white kids. Yeah.
Yeah, every blonde you've knocked up, you get another.
Yeah.
Okay, so. We're playing these guys.
Wow.
We're scared to death, but we just go, we're going for it. And we just go for it. And we just grind it out. I end up getting a concussion in like the fourth quarter, knocked out, literally knocked out of the game and blah, blah, blah. And we win. And when we win, we've just beaten the best team in the league that was undefeated. They beat everyone else. And who are we going to play in the championship? We are going to play the Chatsworth Chiefs, who we beat fairly handily earlier in the season.
No problem.
And we have 2 weeks before the game, and I'm just coasting. I'm like, we got done. We just got done beating Mike Tyson. Yeah. We're doing a heavyweight tournament. I just got by Mike Tyson and Trevor Burbick. I beat him in the amateurs, and that's
Clary
the other guy.
Is next.
He's next. Easy, yeah. I don't even have to train.
Right.
And
they got a term for that now. Classic letdown. Yeah.
I remember our coaches kind of saying, like, now look, we gotta take this seriously. Like, well, you gotta go out and execute. And I remember just like thinking, no, we're not. Like, I remember playing these guys. They weren't that good.
Yeah.
And
or not.
Well, they showed up and they ran all over us. And it was really one just big man-sized back that was just running up and down the field all over us.
You hadn't played the game before.
Did not play with us. When we played before, I was told he didn't make weight. Made sense to me. He was huge. Mm-hmm. And this guy who sent me a tweet said, oh, we had ringers. Yeah. We had guys that didn't practice. They weren't in the picture.
Absolutely.
They weren't. You can read it, Gina.
It says, I was on that Chatsworth Chiefs team that beat your team. We were loaded with ringers that didn't live in Chatsworth nor attend practices. The most memorable was a 6'3" phenom named Kevin Owens. Always seemed wrong to me. How does that happen? How does that even work?
You know, nobody had computers or cameras in their phone. You know, no one knew anything. It was like these guys all just showed up.
Yeah.
There was a couple big brothers, and we're like, well, I don't remember those guys. I didn't make weight last time, they did make weight. So here they are.
They gained 60 pounds in a month.
Yeah, what else would you do? Grab my smartphone and do some quick tabulations and computer computations. No, it was just like, all right.
World back then.
So, and these guys just ran up and down on us. They killed us. And
I think there's only one solution.
Yeah.
Rematch.
Rematch.
Oh. Rematch.
Oh, yes. A Robin Williams movie from the late 80s.
Glory days or one of those.
So I asked, now what is this? Is his name Rob? Sorry. I asked, I tweeted back like, oh my God, after all these years, after 40 years of being tormented by this. Yeah. 40 years of being tormented by this, I now have an answer. I sort of had the answer back then. Here's your two great athletes who didn't play the last time you guys played. And at the peewee level, one big back who's got all the goods can just run over everybody. It just worked fine. But I was like, it didn't make sense that he didn't make the weight or now he made the weight or whatever it was. But these guys were ringers. They were brought in.
That's sportsmanlike.
Well, remember, I've told this story before. We got into a big skirmish fist fight with them. There's a big thing over the course of the game because the first time we played them, they had a receiver go over the middle, like a 12-yard hook pass play just right over the middle. And he caught the ball and with his back, you know, he was facing the quarterback and he just did a button hook or whatever. And he caught the ball and his back was to DB, last name Burcham, by the way. I ended up using his name later on. It's Mr. Burcham. Our DB Burcham just went right at him, hit him low, put his head right between his legs, grabbed his knees, like wrapped him up and lifted.
Nice.
And when he stood up, this guy just draped along his back like a cape, was like unfurled. Yeah, and while he was laying backwards on this guy's back, Scott Whitman with a full head of steam, wow, just put a helmet right,
oh my God,
right into this guy's ribs.
Thunderdome.
Like lead spearing to the nth degree. And their team went nuts. Like, oh, yeah. And they started like rushing out on the field. And then we were fighting them back. And I actually scooped up a fumble and ran for like 35 yards and didn't score that game and blah, blah, blah. But we got out of there, like run to the car. Like we were told, no shaking hands. No shaking hands. You run to the car.
Serpentine, Shelly.
Right. Now, they may have, that may have been, like, when people do things that are bad or wrong, sometimes they have to justify it. Like, maybe they go, like, screw those guys. Those guys almost killed one of our players, you know what I mean? Right. Let's get a couple of ringers in the mix. Yeah. I don't know, but all these years, 40 years later, finally going to try to get some answers from Rob.
So who, healing.
Rob, who was on the other team, played nose tackle and center, and I'll ask him all about it in 1 second, see if we can find out who these guys are and how this worked, and if he remembers the first game and the skirmish and everything else. And I don't even know what the final score was. The final score, College of the Canyons, seemed like 35-7 or something. Like, whatever it was, we were by halftime, there wasn't really anything. It was like the halftime speech was like, play for your pride. Wasn't even like about winning anymore. All right, we'll talk to Rob in a second. First, I'll tell you about LegalZoom. Running a small business means lots of work, time, and money. When legal hurdles pop up along the way, LegalZoom is there to help. Nearly 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to start their own business with LLCs and corporation and more. But after you're all set up, LegalZoom can still help. Lease agreements, changing tax laws, contract reviews, costly hurdles that take time from your growing business. So LegalZoom created their new business legal plan. Advice from vetted independent attorneys and tax pros available in all 50 states. Won't get charged by the hour, that horrible billable hour that Garrigus likes to use. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They're the best. Right, Dawson?
Make your time and money work for you. Check out LegalZoom's business legal plan at LegalZoom.com now and get special savings when you enter Adam at checkout. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
You sent me a tweet this morning.
Oh, yes, Adam, I did. Hey, a pleasure to speak with you, and I want to say hello to Bald and Gina, and I hear AJ's there.
Hi there.
Love AJ's podcast.
Oh,
how
thank
are
you,
y'all?
Brother. Thank you. Good.
Hey,
how
are you, Rob? So you were on that Chatsworth Chiefs team.
Yes, sir. I believe it was 1978-79. You and I were about ninth grade.
Yep.
Yep, it was at College of the Canyons.
Yeah, I remember that was a big deal, like a nighttime game at a college. You know, this is a big deal. Yeah. Do you remember Do you remember the final score of the game?
I don't. I think we maybe beat you by 2 touchdowns, I think. But I don't remember.
You're being kind. It was at least 3. Do you remember the game we played earlier in the season in Chatsworth at your home field?
Yes, and I think you beat us by 3 touchdowns or something. It was pretty significant, and we did not have that ringer on the team.
No, I know you did not have that ringer on the team.
Yeah, I was listening to Good Sports with you and Damashek, Adam, and I heard you bring up that game, and it reminded me, it's like, oh my gosh. And one of the things that disillusioned me with kind of youth sports at the time was that we have this one player that didn't live in Chatsworth, that was probably from South Central.
Yeah.
He went to the occasional practice, didn't show up for pictures, but did show up for half of our games, particularly the one where we beat you in the championship.
Well, that guy, whose name was Owens, I guess.
Kevin Owens.
He ran up and down. All you had to do was just student body. You couldn't tackle him. He's a huge guy.
Where did
he
end up going? Do we know where he went?
I don't know. Do you know what happened to him, where he went back to South Central?
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't. I tried to do some searches because hearing your show this morning made me think, where did he go? I have yet to find out where he went, but he certainly should have been college bound because let's say you and I were about 14 at the time.
Yeah, he was 26.
Yeah, right.
But he still had all his eligibility.
He must have been 6'3". He was the maximum weight for that time. And remember, at the end of the year in Bantams, you could have been maybe 180 pounds because the weight kept going up.
Yeah.
I recall not just his speed, but one time for some drills, I was holding a bag for him to run into me, and he hit me so hard I had a concussion. I was loopy for a few days from just holding the bags for him. He was a man amongst boys, and he didn't live in our neighborhood. Never went to our school.
We were in Sun Valley, so I used to hold bag ladies when we did drugs. Back what they used to call homeless people. Back when it was sweet. Sure, bag ladies and hobos. Ladies, it was sweet.
Winos.
So the game, did you guys have to play during the course of the season the North Valley Golden Bears?
Yes, I recall playing them.
And so they had to beat you during the season since they were undefeated.
I'm sure they did. We lost three games, I believe.
You lost to us. You lost to the North Valley Golden Bears. And you just got the ticket to the Super Bowl, basically, that didn't have to go through the North Valley Golden Bears. We got the ticket where you had to go through the North Valley Golden Bears. Everyone else seemed pretty beatable.
Yeah.
Northridge Knights, Burbank Vikings. I remember all those guys because we'd play them every single single year. We always liked playing Downey because Downey was soft and light. The opposite of the North Valley Golden Bears.
It's funny.
Didn't San Fernando have a team too? Remember San Fernando had a team?
Yeah.
I remember playing them in a scrimmage, and they were ruthless for that, you know, at least for where I was at that time. They were tough, at least in the scrimmage. Don't know if we played them in a regular season.
So did you guys have multiple ringers on your team? Or I just remember the one back. It only took the one guy.
You know what? He was the one I remember, but we had a couple other black kids that weren't from the Valley that showed up for practices and played a few games. But Kevin was the one who stuck around and made it to more than one practice and showed up in especially our last five games.
Did he have that sort of "I'm not here to make friends" attitude? Come in and do his job and leave, or was he? Did you hang out with him?
You know, it almost felt like we had a pro that was visiting us.
He
would be friendly enough and say hi and do a couple drills, but mostly plays.
Signs some autographs
when he was at a practice.
I saw that episode of the Brady Bunch. Franco Harris. Yes, thank you, kids. You'd like me to sign something, Bobby? Yes.
Even at 15, I was wondering, or 14, whatever age we were at the time, I wondered, it's like, why does a coach pick this kid up from wherever? No one on the team knows him. No one's ever played with him after school. Mm. We all went to Lawrence Junior High, our whole team, and no one knew anything about him. But he was this mystery kid who just showed up, and he was a phenom. Again, at least what I remember, he must have been over 6 foot. I'd say 6'3", and the max weight,
Whatever he was much bigger and much faster than anybody on the field, and the coach wanted to win the game against the team that beat him pretty well, you know, five games ago. And so he started this guy tailback, and he just handed the ball to him, and that seemed to be the whole offense. Do you remember when we were playing you guys at Chatsworth High School Stadium, and one of our defensive backs speared one of your receivers, and there was a big skirmish, and we had to run out to the parking lot because there was bad blood. Do you seem to recall that incident?
Yes, I think the guy they hit was a guy named Gary Clark. I believe that was the player. I remember he was upset. He was crying, and you were on our turf. And not like Chatsworth was very tough at the time, but we took that very seriously, I think.
Yeah, it was a pretty illegal hit, but you wouldn't yell at the kid that did it.
Right.
The guy was off his feet, he was inverted, he wasn't going anywhere, and he was just wide open, and no one blew a whistle, so Scott just put a helmet in his ribs.
Yeah, good football.
It was kind of a freakish play, but it looked, you couldn't, if you're making a football movie, that's how you would choreograph it. Right. One guy come in low and pick up, the other guy lay over, better.
Yeah.
So all these years later, now, how did you stumble onto me? Rob?
Oh, Adam, I've actually been listening to you since the K-Rock days, followed you from the FM radio to your first podcast forward. I've been a listener, used to watch The Man Show, of course, and we're kind of contemporaries, and I'm always happy to hear about another guy from the Valley doing okay.
Well, I was from the Valley, but I ended up working off of Owen's Mouth over there in Chatsworth when I was at the second lowest part of my life. So my life was the lowest when I was leaving College of the Canyons.
College of the Crayons.
And I passed your buddy had just put on 275 yards of my team, and he poured a little malt liquor out for the loss and asked me if I had a light, and I gave... wasn't smoking at the time, but that guy was out there. That was the lowest point of my life. And then later on, my lowest adult point is when I was working at an industrial park off of Owens Mouth.
Named after
Chatsworth.
Kevin Owens for his legendary performance to bring home the title. His native Chatsworth.
Yeah, over Lassen and Owens Mouth, kind of that section over there. I think
Really weird and dicey. And
there's a statue of him stiff-arming a young Adam Carolla.
So that's my low point as an adult when I was working in those weird... It was a lot of open land, kind of dark, kind of not too far from Spahn Ranch and Manson and all that kind of stuff. And it was like in the 80s, and there wasn't that much development out there. Then I think the porn industry took over. After that, of course.
But Chatsworth in the 70s and early 80s was a lot of ranches, a lot of orange groves. Before there was all the suburbia. It was not a bad place to raise a child.
No, it was. I mean, it was weird. First off, considered way off the beaten path, but then secondly, it's like big plots of land and orange trees and people riding horses and stuff. Yeah.
How did it become the porn hub that it is today?
Maybe cheap real estate. Maybe the industrial areas were inexpensive because it wasn't that developed. I can only suspect.
Yeah. So you're out. What year did you get out of there?
Let's see. I graduated in '82, and I never went back to Chatsworth.
Were you in Chatsworth? the thing that was weird is we were the East Valley Trojans, and then we were the Sun Valley Falcons. But our home field was Poly High in Sun Valley, but we weren't we weren't the Parrots. Mm. They were the Poly.
Yeah, but, Roscoe and Laurel Canyon, right? Right around there. Polly.
But the point is you guys
have methane gas releases in the field somewhere.
Probably. There was a big landfill.
Adam and Ray were playing.
There was a big landfill that was next to the field. It always smelled kind of weird and sweet to me. It was like sweet bad, not sweet good, but... You guys were the Chatsworth Chiefs, and then you went over to the high school, and the high school was the Chatsworth Chiefs, right?
They were the Chancellors.
Oh, the Chancellors. I got it. And you guys were like white and orange or something like that.
Just like the Chatsworth Chiefs, white and orange.
So it's weird.
They started grooming us in Park Warner.
It's weird that they went, well, just do it like the high school, but no one else did it.
They need to refresh high school nicknames every 50 years or so. Like the Chancellor. Does anyone there know what a Chancellor is?
Yeah. No, nobody. As many.
No one did.
Same amount of Clippers know what a Clipper ship is.
You got to refresh that every once in a while.
Right. Yeah. Hey Rob, I'm glad.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad you heard it, and I'm glad you were able to sort of. You know, I've had a monkey on my back for about 40 years, and I've never really been right. And now I feel like I can breathe. And I know.
I was happy I could share that with you and actually get it off my chest, because I will tell you, as someone who's enjoyed sports my whole life and raised my kid doing sports, I like a little bit of fairness. And even at that young age, there was something profoundly unfair about that.
It's interesting.
Grown-ups were setting this game up.
Well, you were having thoughts about it at the tender age of 14. Do you think other members of your team were having thoughts about it?
No.
They didn't feel like they did.
Thoughts were, boy, this trophy's heavy.
The coaches were delighted. They knew once they brought this kid in, there wasn't a kid in the valley that could stop them. Mm-hmm. So they were happy. Yeah. But in the end, you think about the lesson they're teaching a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, cheat at all costs or win at all costs, even if you have to cheat. And it's funny, I've held that in or not thought about it for years, but it bothered me. And when you were talking about it with Damashek today, this morning on
Good Sports Show,
it rung a bell, and it's like, oh boy, this is something that actually, it bothered me, and I'm kind of happy I could get it out there, so you know, at least it's like, that's a fix.
You know, it's unique. Not many young people are that way. Take it from a father of twins whose kids are very different. I have a son that's very much like, hey, rules are rules, and you don't break the rules, right. and that's not fair to the other person. Right. I didn't instill that in him.
No.
The daughter, she's basically a Bond villain who's willing to torch a nation just to get a decent payday. And I didn't instill either one in either one of them, so yeah. I don't know where they're getting it, but some people have that sort of sense
yeah.
that you have. I would argue it's pretty unique. It's unique in an adult. It's really unique mm-hmm. in a 14-year-old. And but it must have felt weird that the team that had beat you handily, you are now handily mm-hmm. beating in the Super Bowl because you had one super player,
sure.
and yeah. it had to be slightly less satisfying.
Well, you know what? It was kind of an empty victory. You know,
good.
It really
I
was.
Mean, oh,
yeah.
awesome.
The team was so excited. And, you know, I remember I brought champagne and we got in trouble for it. But
wow.
The spray on the players.
Because
they were excited. But I remember going home and with my folks and just thinking, there's something wrong here.
Oh,
there's
wow.
something missing here, you know. And I held that with, you know, I just held that inside. And when I heard you today, I just like, yeah, wait a minute. This is why, you know, this is why. We had a ringer and everyone was in on it. Even the parents. I remember the parents just, the sideline parents just loving this kid, Kevin Owens.
Well,
oh, yeah, we got that kid, Kevin Owens.
You played nose tackle?
Nose tackle and center.
So I was playing guard on the offensive side of the ball, so I must have blocked you
on every other
play, right?
I'm sure we connected. You know, it's kind of funny. When I later saw your face on television, I always thought your face was familiar. And maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe because we played sports together. I'm not sure. But it is kind of a funny connection. And it is kind of funny that all these years later, I've been listening to your podcast for 10 straight years and followed your work and been real happy for you. You know,
well, thanks, really Rob. What a decent guy. And anytime you want to babysit and impart a little wisdom into one of my kids.
In the end, Adam Carolla really wins, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to push
it. Long, long,
I don't want to rub
game.
It in, but Adam's dead okay after that loss.
What's your net worth, Rob?
Nothing like yours.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You want to polish that trophy up before you bring it over the house?
Who's the ringer now?
Maybe I'll have one of my many servants do it. Olga, get the brasso out.
I might stir some drinks with it, actually. Who cares about a trophy?
Well, if it's a cup, I'll drink out of it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You guys go, you got presented a trophy. God damn it.
Well, to that point, what would you rather have? An empty victory like Rob or a moral victory?
Oh,
but neither is great.
I would have been happy to physically win the game.
I know that.
Move
an
on
empty
with
victory
it.
Or
empty
moral
victories
victory.
Are fun sometimes. When you got a ringer on your team, I remember those days. They can be fun.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
Shoot me a tweet anytime.
It's all you. AJ, looking forward to your show on Podcast One.
Thank you.
You're on the network now.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Rob with the plugs.
Listen, I didn't set that up.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, fame is a bitch.
Terrific.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Podcast One. So we'll talk about some of those stories. I don't know, Max Brad, did we ever find the all-league listings?
No.
I can't, I don't know how
the digital... It doesn't go back that far. Like, I tried, if you even just search any of those teams, you won't get anything before, like, 2000.
Yeah, they don't go back.
No, the all-league listings.
What do you mean?
The thing I was telling you to look for that I had documents of, pictures of.
Oh, yeah. I searched your phone. We searched the computer. We couldn't find anything.
All right. Well, during the break, I'll find it.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you go through his wallet?
I was sent like a bunch of emails about it like a couple of years ago. It's one of my many email piles.
Mm-hmm. I'll take another
look. You know, it's weird because I don't have... So what I'm thinking out loud, but like you get a picture or a text or whatever, and you go, "Oh, that's a cool newspaper shot from 1981 or whatever."
Right.
And I usually go put it in the computer somewhere
because
we might use it for something or on stage or whatever. So it's somewhere, but I just don't know where. The email, Max Pata, I think is from a dude who is a cameraman on Catch a Contractor. So it goes back. So it's not like a local. It's not a normal guy. Can you remember the dude's name? It's a cool cameraman. Anyway. All right. AJ Benza here. We'll get into all the story of Jussie Smollett. The hubbub
so
about that. What
on.
Else do you got?
Jussie Smollett. But Conor McGregor is just spiraling out of control.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on that forever. I got a feel-good story about Selma Blair, who's suffering from MS really badly.
I didn't know what happened to her.
I know. It snuck up on, well, not on her, but I didn't know it was that bad.
What's going on? She's a, I mean, she was all in every third movie. Yeah, yeah, she was everyone's best friend in every movie.
Legally Blonde was a big one that people remember.
Hellboy. Mm. Been in a lot of movies. Just a beautiful girl. And then one day, you know, I heard her speak on Instagram and I said, oh my God, she really is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and didn't she go to which award show was with the cane? And
she went to the Oscars. They let her walk the carpet.
Do we say she has MS? Really, do we say that?
Yeah, MS. Yeah, sorry, okay. MS. And then you really knew, okay, this is... Because for a while I thought, how bad is this? Unfortunately, because I have that brain. And you go, no, it's bad. But then a couple of people we know whose names they don't want to be mentioned did a really cool thing and had... Because she wasn't getting out of bed. She was just despondent, as you can imagine. She has a young child, too. And they sent Tony Robbins to her house, and Tony Robbins' personal healer. I forget his name now. Dr. John something. But anyhow, they raised their spirits. They got her out of bed. And did you see that thing she did a couple days ago with where she applied makeup? Mm-hmm. She did some makeup tutorials on Instagram. And she talked about – basically, she just took a big brush and did her whole face. But she laughed and she giggled. And it was the first time she was –
What
are you, look
what, is she in her mid early 40s? What
think,
is she?
I think she's 43 or 39, right. Like right there.
Yeah, and is what's the? So she has MS.
Yeah,
is she going to live with this?
You can live with it. You can with
you
medication.
She's getting the right.
Live, but it's degenerative, obviously, and it's going to get worse.
She said between her memory and one of the sides of her body, it's just she feels like her body and her brain are sort of betraying her. She just can't really keep up with it.
She had like a GPS and her head is off, something like that.
God, you know, we spend so much time staring at ourselves in the mirror and kind of going, oh, what am I going to do with these love handles or whatever? But we kind of forget about the brain.
Yeah.
Man, boy.
Brian doesn't.
You're gonna,
and all the
Brian
concussions.
I'm constantly thinking about
you're
it.
You're going to feel it, man, if that starts failing you. But we do. We spent so much time talking about our joints.
Yeah.
You know, like my elbow's stiff, man. Yeah. I can't. Oh, I can only play two games of racketball before I got to call it quits. What a bitch. And it's like, hey, how about not knowing your middle name?
Listen, I know. I fed myself a sandwich in the mirror. How about that?
Right. Jesus.
I know. It's scary.
All right. I'm curious. We have the initial reaction from AJ. We'll tease it, but about Jussie Smollett, who I'm now calling Jussie Smollett because everyone, but it's
whatever he wants.
The man's born name is Justin. And he spells it Jesse.
I know. And his attorney was telling me his name is Jesse. What do I do? But I'm now going with the popular Jussie.
Do it.
And
Chris Rock said he has to take his U back because he's such an ass.
Right,
so he's
right.
Jesse now.
Yeah. I'll have the same conversation I had with my grandmother when she was explaining to me, you know, it's pronounced hors d'oeuvre. And I went, I'm not going to argue with you, Nana, but everyone says hors d'oeuvre, and I don't want to be made fun of.
I had the same, there's a restaurant in L.A., a sausage restaurant.
Thanks,
called Verskouche. Everyone knows Verskouche. Yep. It's a cool sausage place in L.A.
Oh, no. Alligator, anything you want, bunny.
Rattlesnake sausage.
Go to gay bars.
No, it's pretty cool. It's a trendy sausage restaurant. Anyway, I have this. European friend, and we're a bunch of friends talking about. Oh, Verskouche is good. You ever been? It's really good. Yeah, good beer. And she's European. She goes, guys, before this goes any farther, I have to tell you, it's pronounced Verskouche.
Yeah, like, sure.
Get right on that.
As long as everyone here calls it Verskouche, I will call the restaurant right now. However the waitress answers, the host of answers.
At least you're saying versed and not worst.
That's right.
Do they serve hors d'oeuvres?
Hors d'oeuvres?
Jesus Christ. I know, but that's my angles. Like, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I have to live with a bunch of people who say it this way, and I don't want to get made fun of. So how about that?
My mother, all the time, when I'd take it to Burger King, she rarely went out. And when she saw the big board.
Burger King.
No, really. We went nowhere. And my father died, so I started taking her for fast food because she always cooked every night. And she saw Burger King, and she said, I said, what do you want? She told the guy, give me a Burger King, potatoes, and a malted. And the kid's looking at me. I said, give her a Big Mac, fries, and a shake. That's what she wants.
Or the
Whopper.
Whopper. She had no idea. Like, just
I like malted.
Crazy.
Malted. Those are the best.
All right. I'm getting hungry. Let me talk about Butcher Box for a second, and then we'll play you Jussie. We'll play AJ's first blush on Jussie. As the story broke, we will play you tape of that. delivers Butcher Box delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, and wild-caught sockeye salmon direct to your door on a monthly basis. All the products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. The taste is unbelievable. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, free shipping anywhere in the U.S., not Alaska or Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel anytime. The new sockeye salmon is unbelievable. I just had it last week. New subscribers get the ultimate breakfast bundle. 2 packages of bacon and 2 pounds of sausage. How do you pronounce that again?
Sausage.
That's right.
Sausage. And free $20 off their first box. You will never go back to whatever it is you're currently not doing. Go to butcherbox.com. Enter Adam at checkout. Get the breakfast package. Okay. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll do Banks Bracket Madness, and we'll do AJ Stories, and we'll cover Jussie Smollett and all the breaking stuff right after this. Hey, kiddies. You dig hearing the sound of my nasally drone? You dig cars? Good. I got something called CarCast, and you can get it free on iTunes, or you can listen to it with the free Adam Carolla app. Also available on Android and iPhone. Go to acecarcast.com for more info. Again, it is me. It's Matt DeAndrea. It is all things cars. It is CarCast.
Now, Sonny Carolla reads a tweet from James Woods.
Hashtag Jew hater Omar strikes again.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, my God. Settle down, boy. Breaking news.
Wow.
Breaking news in the football department.
Breaking.
Are you breaking your silence?
How dare you? This is from 1981. Oh. Okay, so this is fresh.
Late breaking.
Just unearthed.
Recently unearthed. Kind of is recently unearthed.
A cameraman, I don't know why, but one of our cameramen on Catch a Contractor sent me the Central Valley All League teams. Mm. As like from the newspaper,
enthusiastic fan of football,
sure. Released youth football. January 7th, like 1981 or something like that. Anyway, the reason I was looking at this, or the reason I wanted to see it, is A, I want to masturbate to my youth,
sure.
And then secondly,
that's actually a thing.
It's from the league.
When Rob said. We had this guy, his name was Owens, and he ran all over you guys. I was like, oh, well, that's interesting, because later on in high school, we had our last football game at Monroe High, which is Monroe is not very far from Chatsworth High. And they had an all-star running back named Owens.
No way.
And the deal was Big Brother, and he was going to run all over us.
Would have been about the right age.
Wow.
Had to be the right age. Presumably. Yeah. I already played him when I was 14. Now I was 17, and it was time
still
to
play him.
So, but I have no, the guy's name is Owens. It's a pretty popular last name, and I have no idea where this guy is. So we devised this plan. We devised this plan, which is our team was very hurt because it was the last game of the year. Their team was kind of banged up. This guy, Owens, was running over every team he played, and that's how the Monroe Vikings would win. It was their homecoming. This is the game that we were going to win for Robert and Lenny, who died in a fiery Pinto crash 3 days earlier, last game of the season.
What, did it ran the kickoff back or something?
We scored with 2 minutes left in the game to tie it up at 7-7. Both teams were so hurt, like we couldn't move the ball, and their team did a like reverse on the kickoff.
Oh.
And the guy took it all the way, game over.
Oh my
they,
God.
They won last game of the season. But I said,
wow.
Now, the thing that was very interesting about it was the last game of the year, we ran this like 4-4 stack defense, whatever. It was like a pro style defense. And it's funny that Rob played nose tackle, because I said to him, the whole time I played Pop Warner, we just played 5-2. So it's five right. down linemen, two linebackers, and we shut down everyone who ran. And they'd be like, no, you line up in the gap between the guard and the center. And I'm like, I want to blow out and blow into a guy. I don't want to have a guy crash down on me. Because when they want to go outside, the tackle blocks you in. When they want to go inside, the guard blocks you out. I didn't like being in the gap. And I convinced the coach, it was the last game of the year, and he liked me. I said, they don't have a passing game. They got this guy, Owens. This guy's running all over everyone.
Yeah.
Let's just run a 5-2.
Perfect.
Let's get a nose tackle. Wow. Yeah. Let's get the two tackles nosed up, nose on.
Good for you.
Not in the gap. Have those guys stack up the line. I'm playing linebacker. I'll fill the holes. And he like went, fine, okay. Have it your way.
Okay.
Played the last game of the year. We hurt Owens.
Nice. We're
down around the goal line. I put a hit on him, and I hurt him, and he was knocked out for the whole game after the first quarter. And they went nowhere. They scored 7 points the entire game. The other touchdown was on a kickoff. So when this guy, when Rob said, nose tackle Rob, 5-2 Rob.
Stocky Rob.
Not 4-4.
5-2, wow.
I mean, 5-2 defense.
I know. Not height. Right.
So when he said this guy, his name was Kevin Owens, I said, well, there's a guy named Owens who was a premier running back at whatever. And then I thought, wait a minute, that guy was from Monroe. He was on the same league I was in. Let's see. I know that guy was All-Valley on my All-Valley team, but I don't think the chances of him being the same guy are great since Owens' popular name.
I would have thought so.
Well, they're Owens, the white guys
Owens,
in the NFL.
Black guys
Owens,
Terrell Owens. How many other black Owens are there? Zero.
No.
Go ahead.
Billy Owens, Golden State Warriors star in the 90s.
Owens is a fairly common name.
Yeah, it's common. Okay.
And anyway, so I was like, this guy's name is Kevin Owens, and I said, I got to find my All-Valley sheet.
It's totally reasonable to assume a running back named Owens, black guy, big guy, played your age, played the running back. That's more than unlikely.
Right. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a coin toss. I don't know where it is. I don't know if the guy lived in the valley. Mm-hmm. I didn't know his name up until earlier this morning, and I went and looked up first team offense, 1981 Central Valley, from Monroe High, Kevin Owens.
Oh, damn. Wow.
And I hurt that guy in the last game of the season.
That's 6 foot my ass.
So we're back in full. We're back in
85.
We're back in full full effect.
Well, of course you hurt him. You're bigger than him. 6'2", 210.
I think he was bigger than 6 foot, though.
It didn't matter. The guy, if he was 6 foot and 180 in Pop Warner, he still would have killed us.
Yeah, right, of course.
The point is he was an All-Valley and probably an All-League.
It
was All-League, probably an All-City running back, and we did hurt him. I did hurt him in our final game, and he got knocked down.
That's great.
It's good. I would have never known that.
Yeah. That's great stuff. That's great. I love that high school stuff.
All right. So, AJ.
Yeah,
story. So, Jussie Smollett. So, we have the tape. I don't have the timeline, but AJ was in here, the day we announced it? The day the story broke?
During the news.
During the news. Yeah. All right. So, we have a reaction, what is initial. This is the reaction. Now, look, easy to play armchair quarterback now, pardon the pun, but I mean,
I was kind of sure of it.
But you have to imagine everyone else's posture.
This horrible thing happened.
8 hours after this
broke. Outrageous story.
Let's listen to AJ. Max Pat, do you have a tape of it? Do you have it?
So somebody is targeting this poor guy.
Clearly,
and
an English
put him
person
in the hospital.
Talking about
Jesus
a black cigarette.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to say up front. Right away, I hate to even say this because it's. I hate that I have this feeling, but I don't think it's real. I think it's set up. I think that's bullshit. I think the fact that they had bleach on them in Chicago, hoping that some black guy would walk in, they'd do this and have a rope. There's something about this that stinks. It's too perfect.
Now, AJ, I will speak to that, saying when I read this headline and I was reading, I was like, this just doesn't add up.
Ooh.
We're going to find out tomorrow something
is off on this.
It's so bizarre and it's so horrific. I thought the same thing. What are we going to find out that hopefully contradicts this, because it's horrific?
Go back to the march with the Indian and the Covington High School kids and the whole thing. It was filmed from a certain angle, blah, blah, blah. There's too much of this story that's perfect. That's the perfect racist thing. The bleach.
Do you
the
guys
rope.
Say, is this a clip?
I don't
or
buy
you
it. Oh my God. And because we just went through this other bullshit story, I need time.
AJ needs time.
AJ needs time.
Okay.
All right. Probably could have just cut it at the first, his first salvo of what exactly he was saying.
The point is, AJ nailed it.
All right, play it again. Let's play it again. Just right, I'll give you the cut. Let's play it one more time.
So somebody is targeting this poor guy and put him in the hospital.
Talking about a black cigarette.
Right.
Here's what I'm going to say up front right away. I hate to even say this because it's I hate that I have this feeling, but I don't think it's real. I think it's set up. I think that's bullshit. I think the fact that they had bleach on them in Chicago, hoping that some black guy would walk in, they'd do this and have a rope. There's something about this that stinks. It's too perfect.
Now,
we don't need to just go another lap of exactly the same thing to a lesser degree.
All right.
Just get the edit beat in there.
All right.
You want to hear? Let's hear the rest. All right, now Gene will talk. Okay.
I will speak to that, saying when I read this headline and I was reading, I was like, this just doesn't add up.
Ooh.
We're going to find out tomorrow something's off on this. It's so bizarre and it's so horrific. I thought the same thing. What are we going to find out that hopefully contradicts this because it's horrific?
Go back to the march with the Indian and the Covington High School kids and the whole thing. It was filmed.
All right. Perfect.
Great.
There. We're just here to make AJ right as fast as we can.
Yeah, we don't want
to
keep going.
Relive an episode. No.
Thanks, AJ.
All right. Okay. You guys should make him right in 22 seconds. That's all. Yeah. All right. So AJ was perfect.
Pretty much.
Vindicated.
Pretty much.
And first off, we're just going to call them the Nigerian brothers.
Yeah, the Nigerian
brothers. They were born here.
Whatever.
And all that. But their English is good.
I'm Italian,
no accent.
But I was born here. We can say Nigerian.
All right,
it's
so
no big deal.
They're going to give an interview, right?
Oh, there's so much going on right now. First of all, Kim Fox, the worst DA ever. She's facing such problems because of what she did. The fact that Jussie Smollett had so many powerful political friends in his background, and you go back and look at all these.
How does this work, by the way? Like, I'm a popular comedian. Who do you know, Adam? Joel McHale? Well, he's not going to answer my email if he's working, but I mean, if he's hanging out, he might get back to me.
But you're friendly with Dana Gould.
How's everyone famous with, and everyone's friends with all the politicians and all the power?
Jussie's been hating this country and the treatment of black people, and he's made these comments going back to Trump like 8 years ago. Before
you're the dumbest person alive. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's my best friend in show business. And that's what he thinks of me. Certainly not going to get me out of jail. Hey, Joel, can I look at one of your Porsches? No.
I'm a card-carrying NAMBLA member.
Well, that's part of the problem. Right?
All right. So Jussie is friends with everybody.
Well, friends with powerful people. Friends with the Obamas. Friends with Kamala Harris. Friends with Cory Booker, friends who could make things go away. And that's exactly what had to happen. Now, let's also say this. And I know when you spoke to Mark Garagos, he kind of let the cat out of the bag. Here's the thing. A slightly built, effeminate black actor slash singer does not become friends with two gigantic bodybuilding Nigerians unless they have something in common. But they're extras. And all of a sudden, they're best friends with the third lead in a major show. It's bullshit. It's sexual. Anyhow, what happened was, with this announcement from Garagos, that Jussie was kind of having
a relationship. He said one of the brothers spent the night.
Okay. Not training
place.
Him on how to do the proper tricep.
Wake him up at 4 in the morning and let's do some dips.
Sure, dips.
Bad
push-ups. Yeah.
You can do that.
But the point is, in Nigeria, homosexuality is a death sentence.
So Fox, she recused herself from the case.
Yeah.
I'm not sure all of why she did. She said she knew him or was too connected or too close or whatever
it
is. What's your theory of what went on? I mean, why the case was dropped?
My theory is there are powerful people in Jussie's camp who went to these Nigerian brothers and basically laid out to them, listen, this could get really ugly and drawn out for you guys. You're a couple of guys from Nigeria. You're trying to – you have this young little business in America. You're trying to get – good for you. But you know what? you don't have the power that Jussie Smollett has. He's got his hands in some powerful people. Do you get what I'm saying? And they're going to go, yeah, we do. How about you take $200,000 and you recant what you said and you go your merry way? That's what I think initially happened because of the phone calls. But now with this Garagos surprise story, now it's like, well, the one guy, if he's gay with Jussie or had a relationship, is he going to be killed in Nigeria because he's a homosexual? It's frightening right now.
I don't know what their I don't know
status.
I'm trying to think of that.
I have people tweet me and say they're from the U.S. I don't know what.
Oh, they are from the U.S.
Okay.
No, but
they go back.
They go back. They were there the night before the fake beating, by the way.
They were there. Gotcha. I don't know.
It's just a power play with political friends of Jussie.
What is when are these two going to do an interview? The thing about an interview
you'll never hear them talk.
Oh, really?
Really?
No.
Why not?
Why would they? Why would they talk?
Did they get a payday?
Is it blackmail or bribe?
If you talk, you don't get the money. You get the money and never talk.
So Conor McGregor, now on to the whitest man in the
yes,
world.
Exactly.
Career.
No, he's from Nigeria.
Spiraling out of control.
What's going on?
Well, you know, in
he
December,
wanted some ownership in the UFC. That's part of what I heard.
Yes. Well, he's challenging Mark Wahlberg to a fight, which is ridiculous. But again, back in early January, I said Dublin police have questioned this guy in a rape in Dublin. No one would print the story. Nobody would talk about it. Finally, the New York Times last week said he was questioned in the rape of a woman, a really brutal rape. And then the next day he announces his retirement from fighting.
Gina, this may be one of the rapes that went wrong. A certain percentage of rapes, according to Gina, small percentage go wrong.
Some go wrong,
Yeah, this may have gone wrong.
You always expect they're going to go right.
Yeah.
You have such
good intentions.
Such high hopes for rape, but then sometimes they really disappoint.
I need media training.
Some girls just don't listen is the problem.
Oh, my God.
That's a rape gone wrong.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's Gina's idea, everyone who's listening.
Taking a hard stance. It's very controversial.
Yeah, what is a rape?
So, what do you think?
Is spiraling out of control.
Well, first off, he has a kind of a problem in that there's a guy who's in his basic weight division, Khabib, who he cannot beat.
And Khabib keeps throwing tweets at him and showing him and he can't
beat him. So is exciting as it is, exciting a fighter as he
You're
is.
Right.
Because there's one guy in his weight division can't beat.
The spectacle's over.
It's kind of weird, but it's deflated him.
It's Kevin Owens versus Adam Carolla.
That's right.
Except you won the last round. Yeah, but you're right. The excitement's kind of gone, and now we've got a couple of other UFC guys who are going to fill that gap. But Conor has been involved with you know, when you grow up in certain towns, some of your friends go left, they go criminal, you go right. He's been friends with a couple of guys who have become major players in the Kinahan drug cartel in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't seem to get away from these guys. And Conor has at least four kids. There's two more paternity tests going on right now. What I'm trying to say without saying it is that his activities at night at 5 a.m., throwing steel dollies into a bus, getting women pregnant, challenging Mark Wahlberg, these are the kind of things people say when they're on drugs, a certain drug, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he's trying to shake loose from, because he had to leave Ireland because he's too close to the action there. But out here, he's not doing much better.
Well, how old is he? And
I don't know. Was he 33,
34, or something like that? But what is
he's 30.
Oh, he's 30. So he's young.
Oh, God, he's
what
just
is his
young.
Next fight? Or I know there's nothing. I don't think there's anything on the schedule.
A street lamp on.
What is he? Who does he?
Parking meter.
The next girl doesn't want to have sex with him. That's the next big fight.
Who does he fight? And what do you think's going to happen with these rape allegations?
I think. You're asking me?
Yeah.
The fact that he retired after the New York Times, the paper of record, mentioned that, I think he knows, because the people in Ireland knew this girl was walking around with her face beat up. On top of that, her neck was wounded in the way that it would appear when Conor applies the chokehold on his opponents in the ring. Okay. He went apeshit on her.
That was in the New York Times?
Well, No, the New York Times just said he was questioned. But I know from my friends in Dublin what went down with this girl. Connor's common-law wife, Dee, was about to announce their second child. And because it was such an embarrassment, this rape allegation, she wouldn't even announce it. She still hasn't announced their kid. So they have two kids. He has another kid. He has another kid with a woman. I wrote them down. There's so many. He's a kid in Liverpool with a woman named Terry Murray, who named the daughter Claudette, which is a great, nice Irish name. He's got two paternity suits pending. He is off his ass. And ever since he fought Chris Mendez, who's the UFC guy behind the glass?
Gary. Nobody. Somewhere.
They're not here? Yeah. He fought Chris Mendez, and it screwed his head up.
Really?
And he's not been the same since then, no.
We also talked about how it was being sort of rumored and reported that he quit. He wanted to quit the UFC before he got banned because of all this craziness.
He needs to. It's scary what he's going through. Paternity tests, kids, you can pay for kids. He's got millions. But the bigger issue is the drug cartel people that are around him. These are big, strong guys. Akin to our mafiosa in America.
Wow. Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Bad dudes. Like the Cray brothers kind of shit.
Oh.
Legend.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
That was Legend with
Tom Hardy.
Oh.
Played two roles. They were great.
Isn't there another movie with
the Crays?
There was one called The Crays. Yeah.
Early 90s, yeah.
Yeah,
The Crays.
Yeah, they did The Crays, and then they did this one.
This one was three years ago.
All right, let me tell you.
Before you do that, can I tee AJ up with off the cuff, but you may know. Mm. I'm curious the latest with the Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman, because they turned themselves in. Or not turned themselves, they were in court today.
Yeah, Huffman's going to jail.
What?
Please.
Huffman's going to do time.
Please.
Hold on.
That's my first story, but I didn't have that.
All right, let me tell you about LifeLock. The IRS is warning taxpayers, businesses, and tax professionals to watch out for predators phishing for personal information during tax season. If scammers get their hands on your data or previous tax return, they can use the info to fill out their returns. If you file after the scammers, and the IRS may not accept it, they'll think you're the fraudulent guy because they've already got one in your name. Good thing there's LifeLock with the added power of Norton Security to help if this happens to you. LifeLock helps fix identity theft-related tax fraud. And if there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it, but you won't have a problem because you got LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton is powerful protection for your identity and devices for tax season and beyond. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
So good question, Brian, and I want to know what's going on with this, and they were in court, Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman and all this. Gina has it. Hold on. Let's just save that take for the news. Right. AJ's not going anywhere.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll do the banks bracket madness, and then we'll do the news, and we'll handle that. And the news will give us a chance to catch up on what's breaking. All right, let's do it, Dawson.
Welcome back to Banks Bracket Madness, where the action is more heated than Adam's dad talking about Trump. Yesterday, we started the Elite Eight with two epic matchups. First, in the grotto, duked it out with a song about Duke's Porcelain Punisher. And it was a Merry Christmas for In the Grotto. Moving ahead to the Final Four.
Wow. Called that.
The second match was Top Contender 2000 Podcasts versus He's In There Shitting. Like the smell Matt leaves in the bathroom, it lingers. But can only last so long. He's In There Shitting is out of the tournament. 2000 Podcasts moves to the Final Four.
These are great competitors. Yeah. It's unfortunate they have to fall by the wayside.
Wow. Worthy.
Before we finish off the Elite Eight, let's listen to another tune from the Old Man Conference that didn't make the cut. In 2012, the Bernie Taupin to Rich Banks Elton John lyricist Mike Lynch moved. Like in Midnight Train to Georgia, L.A. proved too much for the man. Too much for the man. And Bald Brian and Rich Banks sent him off with this song. Oh.
Bye-bye, Lynch. Bye-bye, manly tits. Hello, better bits. Bye-bye, Mike Lynch. Goodbye. He had a baby. He nurses every day. No more breastfeeding. He's got to get away. If you're wondering where will he go, he'll be lactating on the East Coast. Bye-bye, Lynch. Bye-bye, manly tits. Hello, bitter bits. Bye-bye, Mike Lynch. Goodbye. Bye-bye, man tits. Goodbye.
Well done, Brian.
Mike's on the Vinny diet now and is down to his fighting weight.
I have to come clean. Mike doesn't ever really had man tits. He's such a nice guy. There's not a lot to make a joke about with him. Like, he's a nice guy who's quiet and writes funny jokes. So I had to kind of stretch a little bit, but he's a good...
So you decided he has gynomastria?
I know. I had to go somewhere.
He likes the band Fish. That's really his only short...
kind of trait.
His only shortcoming is Fish.
Yeah. It's nice to be the George Harrison to their Lenny McCartney, you know? But it's a celebration of their catalog. It's nice to sneak in there.
All right, Dawson, what do we got?
In the first of our two Elite Eight matchups today, only one of these songs can move ahead. Will it be Backdoor?
She took it in the trunk just like pre-op board I fill. Her crap or crack was his that night to fill. That night she had an ass full of her American Idol. Choo, 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 took it in her back door.
Or Downtown Funk.
False smell like clams. Like the boots of a fisherman. His nuts smell like clams. Make my nose want to retire, man. His junk reeks like clams. Ain't no showers for the ace, man. His balls smell like clams. Lynette, Natalia, you're sunny, hosing down. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. His downtown funk gon' give it to you.
This would be like Sophie's Choice for AJ.
I dread having to make that choice.
I'm crying.
By the way, AJ, just so you know, that was about the other Jewish news girl, not me.
Okay.
Our second Elite Eight matchup will pit Bald Boy.
So I'm driving with a horny bald boy, jerking it through the night. Yeah, this horny little bald boy's painting my super cab white. 13-year-old bald boy, ain't nothing getting in his way. I'm driving with a jerking bald boy across the USA.
Breaker 1-9, it's Bald Eagle's uncle again. You got your ears on? Roger, Eagle's uncle. What's your 20? Rolling down I-4-0. I got a smoky on my mud flaps, and I think I got some jizz on the back of my trucker cap. Over and out.
Bald Boy versus Atchity.
Oh, wait a minute.
Please, let's go. I totally can't hit this note.
Clash of the Titans.
Where do you go from there?
This is Duke, Michigan State. These are all the top ones right here. I don't know what.
Your votes at AdamCarolla.com will decide on the final four. Tune in tomorrow for more Banks Bracket Madness.
The final four.
Wow.
Nervous.
I'm excited and nervous.
We should hear from Rich Banks after this is all done. Get his pick. You know, his favorites.
To hear from him.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. I think we're going to set that up.
Oh, nice.
All right. Let me get in a little Castrol Edge before we hop to the news. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines lose up to 10% performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keeps the metal parts from rubbing on each other. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger.
than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. They did a test with 5W30 viscosity grade, and Castrol Edge was that much better. Edge formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards. All right, let's see. I'm going to be in San Francisco at Cobbs. Cobbs is a cool comedy club. I remember once I was there and a crazy chick went nuts in the audience.
Oh, that's the place.
Tore her out of the crowd. And
that's right.
She almost got run over by a car in the street.
The boyfriend's like, my girlfriend didn't do anything. You got there for nothing.
I love that pitch.
That's right.
I love that pitch. You know what? Why don't you, when you're,
for some reason, there.
The guy was like, I was on stage while this chick was going nuts in the audience. And like, this is San Francisco, so they don't, you know, they don't have jackbooted thugs come in there with billy batons.
They're pretty permissive.
It took a while, but like after a while, I was just like, look, sweetie, just, you got to be quiet. And then if you're quiet, you can watch the show. But if you keep talking, we're just going to, you got to leave, you know? Yeah. And so at some point, she kept going and the guys kind of got her and said, well, we got to leave. And she wrestled with the security and she, I think, bit one of them on the ankle and then like pushed out into the street and literally almost got run over by, she like flew into the street. And then I think she bit a cop too. Yeah. The cop showed up. And then about 20 minutes later, her boyfriend was like in my dressing room. Again, they don't have a lot of security.
And
he was like, hey man, I need to ask you a favor. You got to like kind of call the cops and tell them like, because my girlfriend was basically just attacked for doing nothing.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, no, I was on stage the whole time and she was screaming drunk and then she bit a bouncer and fought a cop out on the street. So I don't know what you're
definitely. You.
Let's go to next to nothing. Let's not just do nothing.
He was at the show. Presumably he's listening now. I would love him to call in and give us an update.
State your case.
Yeah, are you guys married?
I have a vague recollection, and people listening will know more than this, but I have a vague recollection that the gal sort of sobered up and called or something at some point after that. It's just a vague recollection that in some episode after I or we or whoever was at Cobbs, she sort of called in and talked about it. But either way, we could always use another one. Anyway, that'll be the 19th and the 20th, if you like, and not Taco Bell material. My stand-up special available as we speak. 9.2 on IMDb, everybody.
Right. The greatest movie of all time.
Nice. I'm telling you, Chris Rock's average, everything is 7.3. It's crazy. So I'm so happy about that. Anyway, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll come back with AJ and what's breaking in the news.